Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Sinking Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Sinking Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are waking up on your hump day, all right, it's early. But the Hump Show is designed to be a bridge from the early part of the week to the part of the week that's closer to the weekend. So happy Hump Show to you. Happy Hump Day. If you're already up, maybe you're working out. I am inspired by you, but also envy you because it's not a week in which there's a whole lot of exercising. I did a couple of planks on Tuesday afternoon and felt like I had accomplished something. Maybe if I throw in a few crunches. Super week is nutso, even when I'm not in New Orleans or on site. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You've got a few minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Producer Ryan is perusing our show Twix at Amy After Hours and also our Facebook page named after the show. So you can post your questions there. We'll go Super Size Super Week edition, last one of the football season. And as a side note, in honor of National Women and Girls in Sports Day, I have a new blog post up. I haven't had a chance to share it on social media yet, but I think you'll like it. It's 12 lessons learned in 12 years of After Hours. It's like a cliff notes of my Syracuse class. No. It's a little more than that, but I was inspired by our 12-year anniversary, and here we are, a 13th Super Bowl. This is pretty crazy, but we're excited to see what happens on Sunday. And between now and then, getting a chance to talk to various, we'll say dignitaries, reps, ambassadors, if you will, of the NFL. If you missed my conversation with Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champion Rod Woodson, that was last hour. It'll be part of the podcast. I also caught up with Solomon Wilcott, who's really an annual guest during Super Week here on After Hours. He's one of the guys that I've gotten to know over the last decade plus. And not only is he gracious and passionate about what he does, but he's such a great talker too. He does Sirius XM, NFL radio. He's got the Locked On Bengals podcast. And as I was getting ready to talk to him on Tuesday evening, I was stalking him on social media and noticed he actually just took an international trip. So forget New Orleans for a second, Solomon. I saw on your social that you were in Portugal. What was that like?
Look, Portugal was absolutely beautiful. I had a chance to go there and speak and do some work for a company that flew me out. And so I took the family out, wanted to spend some time there and have an extended vacation. I had been to Spain multiple times, but it was the first time I had a chance to go to Portugal. And we had so much fun. We said, we're coming back. That's what we kind of said. And we even said, we're bringing friends. It was so beautiful. I grew up in California, and it reminded me, you know, Portugal is on the west coast of Europe, right?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the west coast. I grew up in California. I had an aunt that lived up near San Francisco in Redwood City. You may have heard of it. And the vegetation, the sequoia trees, the pine trees, topography, the undulations, it just reminded me of San Francisco for some reason. And I visited and toured castles, and you know, I'm a lover of history, and I love places like that that kind of take you back in time. It was just a very romantic place and just very wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of my time in Portugal.
I will put it on my travel bucket list. So just out of curiosity, we see the NFL continue to expand more and more onto the European continent. I think 8 is the target for next season when it comes to international games. What's your reaction to more and more of American football in Europe?
It's about expansion, and it's about showing other people this wonderful, great game that I've loved since I was a little kid. Absolutely loved it. I would take a beating because I had 3 older brothers, and I'm trying to run around, maybe a little running back, and they love pounding me. And it, you know, it's something about us as we're young. We just, I don't know that we love pain, but we just love the physicality. Football gives you that opportunity to sort of gauge your toughness, gauge your strength, gauge your speed. It sort of taps into all those sort of primate kind of mindset, and it's just as a kid I'm talking about, right? Think about all the kids in other parts of the world who don't know about the game. It's kind of like when I played soccer, I was like, this is fun. So they've given us some wonderful games, right? And for us, look what happened when we shared baseball with the rest of the world. It caught fire. And I think football will be the same. And so I look forward to that. I've worked over in London for Sky Sports to help kind of spread the message. Feel like we're spreading the gospel of the NFL. You know, people absolutely love our sport. They really do.
I can't imagine having a Super Bowl anywhere but the United States, but I hear that rumble every now and then. To me, that might be too far over the line, Solomon. This is our game.
That's a bridge too far.
There you go.
You know, I'm all for spreading the love, but it's our game. Look, baseball's done a great job, but where's the World Series played? Right here.
Right.
Great U.S. of A. The Super Bowl is one of those things. Now, here's what we'll do. We can fly you in. You can come on in, buy a ticket. There's a lot of people I know that come in from Germany to watch the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
But somehow, over in Germany or over in parts of Europe, they have a huge contingency of fans. And why wouldn't you? You know, you've got Andy Reid. You got Patrick Mahomes. Lots of love. So that's what happens, though, over in Europe and other parts of the world. Because they're not geographically tied to any one team, they get to pick their team by other means than we would, where we would say, well, I'm from here, that's my team. They're like, oh, no, I like their colors, or I like their uniform, or I like
Taylor Swift.
I like their quarterback. I like Taylor Swift. So, yeah, exactly. There you go. So their association to a team is totally different than ours. And I like that because it's so playful, it's so wistful, and it's just fun. I think we'll take fans any way we can get them, particularly if you're just enthusiastic and you love the game.
It's always a treat to connect with former NFL cornerback Solomon Wilcots, who's in New Orleans, a little bit jealous, but you sound the same. I can see you on social media. I know what you look like. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I don't know how many interviews you are doing on average, but I feel like I see you everywhere, not to mention your own Sirius XM NFL radio show and the Locked On Bengals podcast. You recently turned 60 in the last few months. How do you manage all the energy that you need to keep up with that schedule, Solomon?
I do work out each morning. I have a prescribed sort of regimen that I do. I'm convinced that when you work out, you take care of your health. I try to get decent hours of sleep. I'm not a night owl, so I don't stay up terribly late and try to get to bed at a decent period of time. And then I get up in the morning, I go do my workout. I do believe in managing my caloric intake, and I'm trying to have fun. You know, I travel,
yes.
We eat, we love the different cuisines, but you got to have to have a regimen to be able to take care of yourself. And then I love working. I love the work that I do. I think that keeps us vigorous. I think it keeps us productive, and it keeps us loving life. To me, I think as long as we're learning, as long as we're evolving, as long as we're producing, we should be able to produce something with our talent. And when you're doing that, that's what life is all about.
You spent a good portion of your career with the Bengals. Of course, went to a Super Bowl with the Bengals. Now in the AFC North, there's a major problem for the Browns in that one of the best defensive players in the NFL wants out. Myles Garrett has requested a trade. If you're in that Browns front office, how do you manage and navigate that situation?
I'm going to talk to Myles and say, hey, Myles, you know, we love to keep you, man. We just think you're absolutely the best ever. But look, I understand that you've been here 8 years. You want to taste and see what it feels like to win a championship. We would like for that to happen here. But here's what we're willing to do. Give us a list of 5 teams. We're not making any promises. We're going to try to do the best that we can to help you, but we're going to do our best to help the team, right? We're sorry that we could not take advantage of the best years of your career. We still believe the best is yet to come. And I think what you do is you begin to work with other teams. Listen, when the Cowboys traded Herschel Walker to the Minnesota Vikings, you know what they did? They built the dynasty. Even when the Detroit Lions sent a great player like Matthew Stafford to the Rams, yeah, the Rams won a Super Bowl, but look what Detroit's been able to build. They used that great player, the haul they got from that great player, to build a team that's won back-to-back division titles and do things that we haven't seen from the Lions in 50 years. When the Houston Texans traded their best player, just so happened to be Deshaun Watson, they just so happened to trade him to the Cleveland Browns, look what they did with those picks. They won back-to-back division championships. They won playoffs in each of the last 2 years, and they were one of the worst teams in the league. So I think if you're Cleveland, you got to say, hey, this can be a win-win. What you cannot do is become emotional, right, and become irrational, and you definitely can't act out of anger. I think this could end up working for the Cleveland Browns and working for their talented defensive end, Myles Garrett.
What were the biggest limitations for the Bengals this season, falling just short of the playoffs?
Started at the beginning of the year. You saw the slow start. I think the ownership, I think the leadership of this team, and I'm talking at the very top, has to at least take some accountability, right? Because you left Trey Hendrickson hanging on the contract, wouldn't renew him. He was talking about holding out, but then being that the guy that he is, he showed up to training camp, came to work, right? T. Higgins, you left him dangling, didn't sign him to a long-term deal, didn't even really negotiate with him. Just used the franchise tag on him, hope that he show up for work. They seem to want hostages more than volunteers, as Mike Tomlin would put it, right? And then Ja'Marr Chase, left him dangling, particularly the last two. These are players that are essential to the overall productivity and the chemistry of the offense working along with Joe Burrow. So once again, now Joe Burrow is working not with a full deck going into the season. And when I was at that first game when they played the Patriots, what I saw was low team morale. And that's where I come back to the front office. You think about any military unit, you think about any team that has to go and do battle, and I'm not talking about necessarily war, but even in athletic contests. Overall team morale is so very important. You want people there because they want to be there, not because they have to be there. And I think you saw a team that was emotionally drained, thinking that if you would do this to Ja'Marr, you would do, what are you going to do to me? And this goes back to Jesse Bates. Remember what they did with him? Franchise tagged him. End of the season, he's gone. Now he's picking off passes seemingly every week for the Atlanta Falcons. So the Bengals have a problem. They got to be careful not to lose the morale of their best players. It happened to Carson Palmer, didn't it?
Definitely is a balancing act. It's not just about the physical. It's also about the mental. And we see the teams that succeed understand certainly that there has to be attention paid to both, and that locker room has to be full of leaders or have some leaders who can keep a team going through adversity. Solomon Wilcots is with us from New Orleans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Looking at your social media and saw the tribute that you posted to your college coach from Colorado, Bill McCartney. He recently passed away. You talked about how tough he made it on you as a Buffalo, but what were the lasting impacts of that relationship in your life, Solomon?
It was everything. I mean, he was a man of deep faith, and in our quiet times, he would talk about that, and he knew how to pour into his players, and he saw something in you, and he would talk to you about that. He said, "And it's my job to get it out of you." And then it made sense, right, to understand, why it was so hard on all of us. It ain't like he singled me out. he made men of us. We went there as young boys. There's no doubt about it. I came out of high school. I was 17 when I went off for my freshman year. I played most of my freshman season at 17 years of age. By the time I left there, I was an adult. And he taught us work ethic. That saying, and he had it, and he would always say it, those who stay will be champions. So by the time I left, several years later, they won a national championship in 1990 with Coach Mack. When he said those who stay will be champions, he didn't mean that we all get to be on the 1990 team. What he meant, if you stay, work the program, if you persevere, you're going to be a champion in the game of life. And boy, was he right. It was like one of those tough college professors that going through the course, you absolutely hate them. When you come out on the other side, you see the skills that you develop, you see the talent that you have, and you're ready for the world, right? That's the professor you love the most. And Coach Mack was that. He was that for me in many ways.
Deion Sanders is different. He is a guy, though, that has brought a lot of attention to Colorado. What's your reaction to what he's done in Boulder with the Buffaloes, including a Heisman Trophy winner?
You know, Amy, the college game has changed.
It has.
And there's a reason. I covered college basketball. I covered college football. I I know that sport, and I just think the people at the NCAA, they abdicated their authority. They did a horrible job. They wrecked it. This was wrecked on their watch. And you, in comes a coach like Coach Prime, who now is going to participate in this new space that is unregulated, unchecked. By the time this is over now, a lot of the schools are going to be on the hook for some Title IX violations because they collected this money under the collective. They collected this money and have not evenly distributed this money in the way that they're supposed to. Okay? And this is law. This is the law of the land. They're just buying talent, just giving it out to players. And somebody forgot that Title IX legislation says that you also have to distribute this equally across genders. But that's going to be a story for another later. You'll be hearing more about it, right?
Right. Yes.
But I'll go back to this. Coach Prime came in and he says, look, you know, he's going to win. He's always coached kids. And this team, how quickly he has taken us from a team that won one game before he arrived and now going to bowl games, the average grade point average of the entire football team at the University of Colorado was 3.0. That's the first time it's happened in over 100 years that they've been playing football on that campus. They're winning at the cash register. He's selling out every game. He's selling out every hotel. He's selling out every piece of merchandise. He's driven up your enrollment by over 40%. This is what force multipliers can do. Not many coaches can do that. That's what he's done. So he's winning at the cash register. It's not something that I really never paid attention to, but I think our athletic director, Rick George, pays attention to it, so I started paying attention to it. He's winning in the win-loss column. You throw in the fact that he's winning in the classroom, and that's where it's hard to go against what Deion Sanders is doing. I know a lot of people, it's getting done in a different way. It's not
unconventional.
Some people,
right.
Yeah, look, I work with a lot of companies, and what we've come to know, you either adapt or die. That's how it works. There are a lot of coaches who had been aging, and when it came down, they said, you know what, this is a young man's game. I better get out. Prime came with this energy saying, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace it. Let's use it, and let's just work with the tools that we've got, and let's win, and let's win that.
Solomon, before I let you go, every year when we talk to you, your passion for helping people not only maintain their health, but improve quality of life physically, that's something we always talk about. So this year, MACI arthroscopic surgery, what's the latest development or what do people need to know?
They now can grow your cartilage. They can go in arthroscopically. They don't have to cut with a huge incision. And they can go in and take just a small piece of your healthy cartilage tissue, and they can grow it in a lab, right? And they can go back and adhere it. It adheres to the healthy tissue and to the bone, and it keeps you from deteriorating to bone on bone or later having to get a total joint replacement in the knee. So MACI is a new innovative medical treatment that repairs cartilage damage using your own cells. It's an autologous science. It's phenomenal. You can go to the website at MACI.com, MACI.com. to read up and find out more about the procedure and find a doctor in your area.
Not just for former pro athletes, but for average, everyday Americans who want to improve quality of life. And it always is so cool to hear your passion and to know that matters to you, Solomon. And I know you're managing a lot there on Radio Row. You've got the opening drive on Sirius XM NFL Radio. As a former NFL cornerback in Colorado Buffalo, I'm always impressed. I always admire you, Solomon. It's great to talk to you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy. You know, I'm a great admirer of yours as well. So you are the best of friends. We appreciate you. You take care. And thanks for having me.
He is inspirational in many ways, word and deed and the example that he sets. But to hear him talk about his former coach at Colorado and interesting comments about Deion as well. But it's clear that people poured into him. He mentioned getting to Boulder when he was 17 years old, which I think, as he points out, you're still just a baby at that age. And his coach clearly had messages that resonated with him, having to say goodbye to him recently. And how about his strategy for the Browns? Negotiating. Conversing. Trying to shift the perspective of one Myles Garrett when it comes to asking out of Cleveland. So good stuff there with Solomon. He's an Emmy Award winner, so he's obviously spent a lot of time behind the microphone. Rod Woodson, Hall of Famer, Solomon Wilcott, NFL and Colorado Buffaloes veteran, and still to come on National Girls and Women in Sports Day, Adrian Smith, who's a national champion, a gold medalist in both tackle football and flag football. It's perfect to have her from New Orleans as she gets set to coach on Wednesday and share some of her wisdom and experience. So we'll talk about her a little more coming up next hour. Still to come this hour, your chance to ask Amy anything. I see some of the questions. I'm trying not to peek. Ryan is compiling the list, though, so you've got a few minutes left at Amy After Hours on our Facebook page as well. Straight ahead, we don't see and hear a lot of Tiger Woods these days, but he was playing in, not a PGA Tour event, but an event recently, and his mom was on hand, but he announced just on Tuesday that his mom had passed away. A really amazing tribute that was done by the PGA Tour. And if you ever watch Tiger play golf, you know his mom was a constant there on the course. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. Heading forward, it's our hump show, middle show of the work week, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Super Bowl 59. What's the first one you can remember? I have to think about that, but it goes back to the Bears in 1985. I don't know what number that was. I'd have to do the quick math, but Super Bowl 59 is where we find ourselves right now in New Orleans. One last enormous, humongous opportunity to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 59. Scoring touchdowns. It's pretty basic, right? But if you know nothing about football, a lot of casual fans tune in. Scoring touchdowns is the key, ultimately, to hoisting that Vince Lombardi trophy. And you've got a shot to score big by betting on those TDs, or tutties, as the cool kids call them, at DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one place to bet touchdowns. New DraftKings customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use my name as your code. That's Amy, A-M-Y, for new customers. You'll receive $200 in bonus bets right away when you lay down just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-36. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus, but age and eligibility vary by jurisdiction. You must be present in a state where it's lawful to wager, void in Ontario. New customers only. And these bonus bets are non-cash credits. They expire 168 hours after they're issued. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thank you for joining us on what is quickly morphing into a Wednesday morning, February 5th. Holy cow. It was just the beginning of January, and then it was middle of January, and then all of a sudden it was the last week in January, and now we're days into February, and do people's thoughts start to turn to Valentine's Day? Because it's coming, President's Weekend. I was talking to my sister-in-law on Tuesday evening. We had a phone call with my brother and sister-in-law, and she mentioned she works in a school system in Texas, and she mentioned that people, her kids and fellow teachers, are already starting to look ahead to spring break. No, it's not time for spring break. Please, 2025 needs to slow down just for a minute. It will slow down post Super Bowl, I think. That's not generally how sports work, though. Spring is pretty crazy and sports never stop, but we've got this one last big football game to come. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, also online at Amy After Hours. Ryan will do one more sweep for your best, most creative, super weak, super sized Ask Amy questions. And that comes up immediately following the update. And if you missed it, Luka Doncic making his first comments as a member of the, almost the Dallas Mavericks. Nope, as an outgoing Dallas Maverick, incoming Los Angeles Laker. He was on the bench in L.A. next to LeBron for last night's game, though we don't exactly know when he's going to play. So we'll hear from him again at the top of the hour. And then one more conversation, this one from New Orleans in our final hour, a member of a very successful women's football team in Boston, the Boston Renegades, but she's also worn the red, white, and blue, and she's an entrepreneur. Wait till you hear the story personally, in her own words, of Adrian Smith. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Tiger Woods announced on Tuesday that he had lost his mom. Now, I have no idea if she was sick, what she was dealing with. He lost his father in his 70s to cancer. Haven't yet heard anything about his mom, but I know she was just there with him at a tournament of sorts over the weekend. So it was good to hear, good to see her. I actually noticed, because we don't see her very often anymore, but she was there. She was cheering for him as he was out there on the golf course. And then he announced on Tuesday that she had passed away. He always called his mom the enforcer and gave her credit for being the disciplinarian. So his dad taught him golf. His dad encouraged him, even though his dad was the one that got a lot of the credit. He said that his mom was the one that made him practice, that taught him how to be diligent and committed and dedicated. He also gave her credit for the specific color that he wore on Sundays during golf tournaments.
My mom thought that, being born a Capricorn, that red was my power color. And so in some of the junior golf events in SoCal, I would wear red and I won. Okay, so in spite, I wore blue at other tournaments.
In spite,
I didn't win. And so I then switched to red and I had a lot more success wearing red. I then saved it for, okay, mom, I'll make you deal with you, that I'll wear red on big events.
Right.
On the last round of big events, because I can't wear it every single day.
Of course.
I'll wear it on the last day of big events. She said, fine, just wear it the last day.
I don't think a lot of people know why you wear red. Yeah. There's a nice little tie to mom.
Yeah. My mommy.
That's a comment that he made as part of the Today Show. He also has made other remarks in the past about mom, and that it was also ironic that he went to a university that's red, Stanford, where their primary color is red. And he said, we wore red on the final day of every single tournament. And then every single tournament as a professional, I've worn red. So it became synonymous with me. Yeah, really neat to see her there. She is part of his multifaceted ethnicity. Remember when people used to ask him, for those of you who followed Tiger Woods over the length of his career, which I did, he was the only reason I started watching professional golf. He called himself Koblenasian. That's the conglomerate that he used to come up with, Koblenasian, which was really a unique blend, not only the name for it, but the fact that he represented so many different cultures and so many different ethnicities could identify with him or claim him. His mom was born in Thailand, and she worked as a civilian in the U.S. Army's Bangkok office when she met his dad, Earl, who was a soldier in the Special Forces. And she was here in the United States by 1968. They married in New York. And Tiger was born in 1975. So again, his dad passed away from cancer now almost 20 years ago. His mom just passed away on Tuesday. It was announced on Tuesday at the age of 80. And his tribute to her was really sweet on social media. He called her a force of nature all her own. Her spirit was simply undeniable. She was my biggest fan, greatest supporter. Without her, none of my personal achievements would have been possible. He also mentioned that she was loved, especially by her two grandchildren, Sam and Charlie. And this was their only son. Their only kid was Tiger. And so they doted on him. And Sam and Charlie could see her every now and then, mom, with the grandkids. So we'll certainly mourn with him. I can't even imagine losing my mom. And so as I've had friends or even celebrities, athletes that I don't know personally grieve the loss of their moms, it always resonates with me. At some point, that day will come for me. I simply can't imagine going on, moving forward without my mom, as I feel the same way about her that Tiger feels about his mom. And so I definitely feel for him and for his family this week. Coming up, your opportunity to ask Amy anything for the last time this football season at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. Glad to have you with us. Ryan will be fielding the questions, not fielding them. He'll be posing them. I'll be fielding them. That's straight ahead on the Hump Show. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
I changed my mind. I think I am fielding the questions like I'd be fielding BP. So Ryan is, he's hitting the balls out to me at shortstop. Actually, I played second base, and I'm fielding them as they come. All right. It's the middle of what is a long and extensive super week, only really napping a few hours at a time, so you can't hold any of this stuff against me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, your last chance during football season to ask Amy anything, and I believe Ryan is all lined up and ready to go. Let's do it.
Yep, I'm ready. Bill asks on Facebook, you have to rank these Super Bowl snacks.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so just let me know if you need a couple of read-throughs on this one. Number one, 9-layer bean dip.
Okay.
You have chips and queso.
Mm-hmm.
Nachos.
Mm-hmm.
Barbecue meatballs.
Mmm.
And chips and onion soup sour cream dip.
Oh, no. So that's last because I don't like onion. I'm not a big fan of the onion dip, even if it's sour cream, which I do love. Also, the 9-layer bean dip, it can't be number one just because I'm not a huge fan of the beans, but I do like that layered dip. I'll go barbecue meatballs first. I'll go nachos second. I'll say then the 9-layer dip. What was the second one you read out?
Basic chips and queso.
I prefer chips and salsa, not chips and queso, so I'll put chips and queso fourth, and then the sour cream and onion dip last.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, for me, though, if you really want to know, it's buffalo chicken dip out of the crock pot. Ooh, it's going to be delicious. On Sunday night, if you like, Ryan, I'll bring you some leftovers.
Yeah, that sounds good. People were asking, what's in the recipe for that?
Well, a lot of cream cheese, some sour cream, some chicken, and some buffalo chicken sauce, as well as the Marie's blue cheese. That's the version that I use. So you use cream cheese and blue cheese, and then you also use the chicken and some of the buffalo wing sauce.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But it's delicious.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to eat the entire crock pot myself.
Yeah. Just a lot of preparation.
Nope. Crock pot does all the work.
Okay. The next question on Twitter/X Twix. Da Pope Lowski. I'm going to go that.
Da Pope.
Da Pope. If you could go back in time to watch any past Super Bowl live, which one would it be and why?
Wow. Okay. I think I'll go back to one of the Cowboys-Steelers classic-type Super Bowls. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but Tom Landry, was the coach, and these are two iconic franchises. It was played at the Orange Bowl, so I guess this is going back to the 70s. It's one that I've only really seen any type of the highlights from NFL films. And Roger Staubach was playing in it, but I do distinctly remember Lynn Swann catching a deep pass or a long pass from Terry Bradshaw. So think about the Hall of Famers that are a part of it. Lynn Swann, Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach. It's two of the most legendary franchises in the NFL with so much tradition. I just looked it up now. Super Bowl X. So I'll go back to Super Bowl X between the Cowboys and the Steelers.
10. Wow, that's a long
time. That'd be fun. Yeah, also
49 years ago?
Yes. Also, the Super Bowl MVP was, in fact, Lynn Swann. And it was outdoors, of course. And the weather was 49 degrees at the time. That's crisp. Perfect. Crisp. But not too cold. Played at the Orange Bowl, though. That's kind of funny.
They don't do that anymore. It's all domes and...
Yeah, and named stadiums now that have been purchased with a lot of money.
Yes. The next question, though, Greg...
But just can you imagine, though, Chuck Knoll, and Tom Landry? I mean, that's...
That's way...
Well, it's before me, too, I know, but it's like I'm... It's a, but like, you've heard of Tom Landry and Chuck Knoll. Okay.
It's just like a time machine. It's like jumping completely different.
Well, that's the point. I wanted to go back and see one live.
It's basically black and white to me.
Nice.
But the next question is Greg from Michigan on Facebook. Is this the year Travis will propose? We didn't do it last year. Is this the year he'll propose to Taylor Swift?
I will say yes in 2025 because she finally has a break from her Eras tour. But I... dispute any idea that it will be on the field if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. That to me is, first of all, it's disrespectful to your teammates and the event who've just made history. And I don't think Travis is like that. But also, shouldn't, I agree with Boomer Esiason, we talked about this last week here on the show, shouldn't she have her own moment? Why in the world would you combine his greatest triumph with, oh yeah, here, why don't we get engaged? She should have her own moment. She supported him. I know he supported her too, but I think it should be away from the public eye because so much of their lives is spent in public with that white hot spotlight. I think it'd be sweeter if it was something like the way that Josh Allen proposed to Haley Steinfeld. That's her last name, yes. Right? Steinfeld. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was really sweet. He had a whole setup and there were family and friends there, but it wasn't the pictures we saw after, but it wasn't something out there for the world to see as it's happening.
Imagine it's the most viewed event of the year.
No.
And the glamour.
But right, but we think it's glamorous, but they live their lives in the public eye. They deserve and probably would like that moment to be private. That's my guess.
Or they do it and then immediately divorce or break the...
Oh, stop it. It's real. At this point, you have to know it's real.
Yeah, hopefully it's real. I've been swindled for 2 years.
That's right. Jerks.
Rich on Facebook asks, what was your first vinyl record or album that you bought with your own cash?
Huh. I don't think I ever did, but I did have one that I loved and I played it a lot. You're going to laugh. It was... Was it Sheena Easton? Dolly Parton. Wait a minute. Hold on. I think it was Sheena Easton.
Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
Right. She is definitely the 9 to 5. I think that was on one side of it. And the other side of it was Sheena Easton, which is funny because I can't remember the song, but I just remember the name. So, yeah, Sheena Easton also did some stuff with Kenny Rogers.
Was it Morning Train?
Oh, it was Morning Train. How did you know that?
I Googled it. I found the exact vinyl. It's 1687 on eBay.
Oh, great. Well, I don't have a vinyl player, so I can't use it. But it was Dolly Parton on one side working 9 to 5. It was Sheena Easton on the other side. And I can't remember, but I think it was the smaller version. Like the are those 33s or the the LPs
looking
are.
Looking at it, it's a... 7-inch. Looks like it says Moody from 1980. This is a rare one.
No, wait a minute. She
Japan.
Also sang 9 to 5, so maybe she covered it.
9 to 5 Morning Train.
Morning
is the
Train.
Name of it.
Okay, that was it. Morning Train was one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, and then Moody was on the other side.
But let's say vinyl. Sheena Easton vinyl. I don't know what size it was, but yeah, you're right. You can actually find it now on all kinds of different sites available. So it's either a 33 or a, what was the other one? We'll just go with 33. It was Sheena Easton.
Final answer, 33. That works.
Wow, that's a blast from the past. I was such a kid then. Go ahead.
Therese on Facebook, if you could invite two pro football athletes to watch the Super Bowl with, who would it be?
Oh, heavens. Well, I think Peyton Manning would be a hoot, although his need to diagram every play, probably not. If I could watch with any athletes. Well, John Elway is my all-time favorite quarterback. So I think I'll go with John Elway. And then who in today's NFL would be fun to watch with? I'll just go Peyton and John Elway because I think that'd be quite the edumacation.
I'd rather have Eli than Peyton.
Eli is funny. Mm-hmm. Peyton's... He's a good network contact to have, though, if you ever want to get into a TV career.
Yeah. Omaha Productions.
Right.
Okay, next question. This is from Patrick Kelly on Facebook. This last Sunday, Groundhog's Day happened. What is your favorite unofficial holiday? Groundhog Day, Super Bowl Sunday, Valentine's Day, I don't know what this is. Pancake Shrove Tuesday? I don't know what that is.
I don't know that easy.
And then Halloween.
Yeah, I'm not a Halloween person, though I do love orange. I'll go Valentine's Day. It wasn't my favorite for years, but now that I have a sweet Valentine, oh yeah, we celebrate it like total goofballs. But it's sweet. We're not going out, though. It's a Friday night, and there's no way. So we're kind of finding some other plans, but we are definitely celebrating. So now Valentine's Day is sweet because he might listen to this, but I expect flowers. He gives me flowers on special occasions. So to me, let's go sappy and have some flowers. It's perfect. Yeah,
I can't imagine trying to book a restaurant.
No thanks.
Yeah, no, those reservations would.
That sounds stressful.
100% scare me.
Right, and also be really expensive. Yes.
I'm going to say the last question here from LV Runner on X says, would you be interested in getting the slime streaming from the Nickelodeon broadcast?
Yes, for a good cause. I absolutely would be interested in being slimed. I have done one of those dunk tanks before in the past for charity. And I've also done pie in the face for charity. Well, and of course, a lot of us did the ice bucket challenge. Mm-hmm. Holy cow, that was cold. But I did that as well. So what's the difference? You shower, it comes off. I think it would be terrific if it was for a good cause.
It's also it's different.
It's trendy,
like,
you know.
It's trendy, and it's also it's like an iconic thing that you can remember.
Yeah, right. Well, since I'm not an icon, yes, it would be an iconic thing to remember. You know, actually, if I could watch, I'm going back and thinking about my answer, wouldn't it be fun to watch with, if you're asking me coaches, like a John Gruden and...
That's basically what they do now with John Gruden at Barstool.
You can, actually. Tony Dungy... If I could watch with Mike Tomlin, sign me up today. Could you imagine watching a Super Bowl with Mike Tomlin? I'd be all about it. So, yeah, I think any of those guys that I could learn from, that's actually how I've learned the game of football since I didn't play it myself. But to learn it by watching a lot of tape, watching a lot of games, listening to people who know so much about it, I think those are a few people that I'd really enjoy. But you wouldn't want more than two because it'd be too much to concentrate on. And also, I have to take notes because we'll be doing the Super Bowl postgame show right here on the network following the game on Sunday night. Still to come, 1 hour. Thank you for your questions, by the way. I'll go back and answer as many as I can. 1 hour to go here on The Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.